This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and here's my pitch. A Real Housewives of Salt Lake City podcast where every episode, I cold call a Mormon I went to high school with and ask them why they unfriended me on Facebook.
I'm Brandy Posse. Posey. Jesus Christ, I know my own name. I'm Brandy Posey, and I've got a pitch for you. How about the movie Green Room, but with a ska band?
Huh? I'm Tess Barker, and I have a laugh that could be described as polarizing.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Lady to Lady. Thanks for joining us. Brandy Posse is a new.
Oh, my God.
A new.
It's the only thing I'm positive about, generally.
I'm positively happy to see you, too, Brandy.
You know what? It's just like me giving in to years of people wanting that to be my last name. Brandice Posse, Posse, Brandice.
Brandy Pussy. Brandy Pussies are pretty good.
Well, that's my
porn name.
Don't Google that, because that is my porn name. It's my only OnlyFans name. Times are tough.
Wow. Brandy's been holding out. She's an OnlyFans. The last of us you would expect to be on there. I'm really...
No. I feel like those are the ones that rake in the dough.
Exactly. I'm actually on OnlyStans, where it's just the toxic fans are the ones that
support me. That sounds horrible. I'd rather show my butthole.
All right, let's bring out our guest. She is a hilarious actress. You've seen her on Bad Education on HBO. She's also in Masters of Sex and on Broadway in Kinky Boots. Annalee Ashford, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Yay. I'm so happy to be here. I'm really happy we're kicking it all off talking about buttholes. I know I'm in a place I'm meant to be.
Good. Yeah, we like good. To put it out there right away just so the guest knows, you know, what's up. Before you even, we don't offer you a drink of water. We offer you a butthole reference.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about that. Hey,
when you're here, your butthole is family. That's the lady to lady motto.
I thought it was like when you're here, your butthole. But either way.
Yeah, either way.
Obviously, that's the Olive Garden tagline. What do you call it? Tagline?
Yeah. Tagline. Catchphrase. Is it a catchphrase? Yeah, catchphrase.
Branding. The last time I ate there alone, and sometimes I think
Yikes.
About that.
Barbara.
Yeah. When was that?
How did that happen?
Years ago. I think I got a gift card or something, and I was just like, it was one of those things where it's like, it's not going to pay for two people's meals.
How many breadsticks did you eat?
I only think I ate like three, which is kind of sad.
Barbara.
I wasn't doing myself justice.
No,
I'm going to have to go back and you know, I've obviously been shamed.
If you go to Olive Garden alone, you're legally obliged to eat at least 10 breadsticks. It's like, can I get some to go? Like, that's what needs to.
I have really to say, this is one of the reasons I'm very anti-buffet. They stress me out. I hate the pressure.
Wow.
Because I only have
controversial.
Yeah, it's like I can't. Like, I only have one buffet. Stomach. I'm only one person. I can only get so high before eating.
What?
No, love a buffet. Annalise with me, right? Love a buffet.
Yeah, you don't like a sensible binge with some shrimp cocktail, pizza, and guacamole? I mean,
exactly.
Everything that your heart can dream of.
I mean, that's the thing is, ideally, I would want a restaurant to be a buffet. I just want a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think there should be, I mean, I know there's supposed to be like tapas or something, but I want like literally every, just like a dollar coin? Why am I using that as a reference of size?
A silver dollar.
No way. I want a plate of mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese, then two plates of like king crab legs, I think.
Yes.
And then you eat like a cup of fruit so you feel like you did something right. And then you have all of the brownies.
You gotta get ice cream.
You gotta get ice cream. Also, if you're not using a regular plate as your dessert plate, you're a fool at a buffet. Mm-hmm. These are my buffet thoughts.
Did you guys ever go to like country buffet with your like grandma and grandpa when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. We were
mixed in mouth water. Mm. Mm.
Is that the one that had the chocolate fountain, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they also had, the pizza's not very good, but you still get it. Mm-hmm. You still take a slice of pizza anyways, even though you're like, this pizza's gross, but
I know.
You eat half of it.
You have
the buffet
to
pizza's
it,
always the worst, but you can't deny that you have to
go
slice.
Because if you're there for a binge, you're not going to not include pizza in that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. It doesn't matter the quality. It matters the quantity, for sure.
Yeah. Pizza is always invited to the party on occasions like that.
Yeah.
And then when you go to like a good, and when I say good Vegas buffet, I mean, I don't know what good means to you, but good to me at a Vegas buffet means an elaborate seafood section.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And it's usually not the highest of quality, mm-hmm. but you still pick something from every section, even the oyster maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're nervous about it while you're putting it in your throat, but you just do it anyways because it's there.
Vegas is all about gambling. I mean,
exactly.
That's Vegas in a
poor
in
decisions,
a
excess, and possibly deadly impulsive moves.
Absolutely.
I think that sums Vegas up.
I got $20 for nickel slots and an empty stomach for oysters. It's time to go.
So I want to ask you, Annalie, I loved Bad Education. What is it like seeing Hugh Jackman in person?
I love that's the best. First of all, you know when people are like, Hugh Jackman's the nicest man in show business,
right?
He truly is. He's like, for real, the dreamiest human. Aww. He's so lovely and so kind. And then we had this like really great little scene together. So we got to hang out for an afternoon and we had like all these amazing fun conversations about funny things that have happened on stage and all these people that we know in the theater. And while we were having these like fun talks about all these people that we love and that we know, he was like eating his food for like, what was I think it was like dinner or lunchtime. I can't remember what time of the day it was, mm-hmm. but it was the moment that I remembered that he was Wolverine.
Wait, was he? Did he have his forks in his hands like Wolverine claws? And is that how he was eating his lunch?
I mean, the visual of him eating the volume of food that he ate. First of all, also he's like a big guy, really tall guy, and he is cut up.
This sounds like kind of erotic already. Go on.
Yes.
You're telling me. They were like, somebody was like, hey, Hugh, your food is here. And he was like, oh, great. And he was like, do you want some? And I was like, first of all, that is the loveliest. I have sat next to some other very fancy, famous people who ate sushi, and they did not offer me, they didn't even look at me. So anyways, he opens up the bag, and he had a big, huge like tray of like sashimi. Mm-hmm. And he starts eating. I'm like, wow, that is so much sashimi. And he went through it all. And then he pulled out another tray. Yes. It was a big, huge piece of like miso cod.
Wow.
And he went through the miso cod and I was like, he's just loading up on protein. And then he pulled out another. I don't even know what the next thing was. He ate so much food on our like just setup between takes. It was like unbelievable. And that's when I remembered that he was Wolverine. And I remember a story that somebody told me. I forget who it was. Somebody great who worked with him, and they had breakfast with him at his house, mm-hmm. and he was like, hey, mate, do you want some eggs? And the guy was like, I'm okay. He proceeded to eat like 12 eggs, like Gaston. He did play Gaston.
He is Gaston. Holy shit.
He plays. Gaston was like one of his first jobs in Australia. Like their Broadway you know, I don't know what they call their version of Broadway, but, you know, Broadway. They're fancy.
Broadway.
They're Broadway in Australia. He played Gaston. That was like one of his first gigs. Anyways, I love him. He is just like the coolest, the dreamiest. And anytime he talks, I'll listen. He's a magic human.
Man, I love the idea of a Beauty and the Beast in Australia. It's just like, hey, mate, don't steal my girl. Give it back.
Oh, he is a perfect Gaston. That makes me really happy to just picture that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a breakout for him after like drama school.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That, like, is
Gaston
crazy.
Was his breakout role.
He is cartoonishly handsome, so it does make sense. I like that. He has like the chin for it.
It also makes sense to me that it takes that much protein to talent to fuel being a triple threat like that. Like, that makes sense.
You need protein for each threat.
Mm-hmm.
He also, like, they put age makeup on him for that movie. And I remember we showed up for like a makeup test, screen test, and I was like, oh, they have age makeup on him? He doesn't look any old. He, like, you literally can put age makeup on him and he still looks so good that you don't think that he looked older. Like, he didn't look older because he gets a facelift in it. So they were like, we'll just put age makeup on him and then when we give the facelift, you know, it won't be on him anymore. And I was like, he looks so good, it's wrong.
That's so funny. That's even the, it just, like, slides off of his face.
The moral of that story is eat a lot of protein.
Yes.
Okay. I'll take it.
Absolutely.
I'll take it.
I have to do it. I feel like I do have to do it with the claws. Just kind of like hunched over it, like you're imagining Wolverine, like kind of consuming it.
Well, because that way you're doing cardio while you're eating too.
So you're getting those guns ready. Mm-hmm. A lot of shoveling motions is good.
So you started out in theater too, Annalie, right?
Yes. Yes. I am a theater gal myself. My first gig was understudying Glinda in Wicked on the road. That was like my first big gig out of college.
Nice.
So, but like my background is predominantly the theater,
mm-hmm.
both the musicals and the non-musicals. I think the non-musicals are easier. Yeah, but don't tell my husband because he doesn't do musicals. So he's always like, I don't like when you say that. I'm sorry, but Hamlet is just as hard as when you play, you know, Dot and Sunny in the Bar. I'm like, they're just different. They're just different.
I've never thought of the theater kids having this like fight between the play kids and the musical kids.
Oh, old school fight to the point where like when I was like in college, I was trying really hard to not do musicals because I wanted to be respected as an actor. So I was I was a BFA acting major. So I was like, yes, I sing, but I'm not doing musicals. I'm just a BFA actor. Yeah.
Who just happens to be able to sing. Yeah.
It used to be sort of like a little bit of a stigma attached to if you did musicals, you weren't going to be respected as an actor and you didn't get to do Shakespeare and you didn't get to do Chekhov and all that. And now Hamilton made everything better.
I mean, just in general, you know what I mean? Like, thank you, Lynn. We needed you. Yeah.
Lynn, you did it again.
I love that. It's so interesting when stuff like that happens where it's just like, oh, it's a matter of taste or something. You're like, fuck this. These are musicals are. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine thinking that way. But also, they are so hard. Like, you're just out of breath all the time. Right. Like,
yeah.
And you're not like just running around doing cardio the whole time you're in a straight play.
You're also usually trying to make something totally bananas make sense, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like, it is, there's craft involved in making us believe that I'm breaking out of song, breaking out into song, and mm-hmm. I'm still telling a human, and I'm still a human. Like, what? You know? Mm-hmm.
That is number one people who don't like musicals issue with it, is that they're like, I just don't get it. Why'd they start singing?
Well, it's like, I don't know. Why did that sculpture start having three eyes? Because Picasso made it. You can't understand any art that's not completely grounded in reality? Get some fucking imagination.
Amen.
Right? Comparison to Picasso painting.
I don't know. It's art. Hang out. Enjoy it.
I love it.
I love musicals.
You know, Cats, A Starry, Starry Night. I mean, that's a good comparison.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, A Starry, Starry Night could be cat buttholes. So really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who's to say it's not?
Bringing it back around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I feel it. They're furry and warm and soft. It's great.
I will say I am... We've got a kitten. Let's do a kitten update here because we we basically got a feral kitten who's in our house, and we were just like, we have a hostage. You just feel like you have taken someone hostage, and you're just going in there and feeding them and hoping they'll eventually love you. But we introduced her name's Cindy because she has a little beauty mark like Cindy Crawford, aww, basically. But we introduced her to the other cat, Archie, and it's like, it was just like the clouds opened up and she was just like, oh my God, I'm saved. Like another another being like me. And she's obsessed with him. She starts purring super loud every time he comes around and she loves him. So I feel bad because we kind of forced him into fatherhood without.
That's okay. You guys feed him. You give him a lot.
We do. But you can tell he's like, what the fuck is this? Like, I just had this whole place to myself. And now this fucking little kid's following me around everywhere. But
that's so great. We don't have a cat, but the house that we're renting right now in LA, it's a great house, great neighborhood, getting a good deal. And they were like, the only thing is they left to go to Sweden because she's like a production designer and she got a job out there. And so the whole family went to Sweden. They were like, we're out. But we have to leave our cat. Would you, the house comes with the cat and he's not our cat. He pees and poops outside, no litter box.
Oh, great.
His name is Balthazar. And we were like, yeah, cool. I never grew up with cats, but my husband was like, yeah, I grew up with cats. I'm cool. I love cats. Blah, blah. And we're like, great. The dog and the cat can't even be in the same room together. So we do this like weird dance every day where we put the dog on the couch on the living room and we close her eyes. Mm-hmm. We literally go like this to the dog. And then I go and get the cat and I do this special whistle and he likes me. And then I pick him up and hold him like a baby and carry him into the back room. And our dog is diabetic, so she can't have the cat's food around her. So we have baby gates everywhere. It is like a weird obstacle course of dog-cat drama in our house. And sometimes the cat gets out of the back room and we don't know how, you guys.
Oh,
we
don't.
They're we may slippery have a special that way.
They're so smart.
Can they open doors? Like
they can.
I think
my
so.
My cat
can,
growing yeah. up could open doors. She could. Yeah, it was really cool. She would like take her paws and just kind of like mm-hmm. jiggle the thing and then push through.
That makes me feel better about like the spirits I thought were also with us here, so I feel better.
Can you feed the cat and the ghosts, please? We'd appreciate it.
Yes.
Could leave out some ectoplasm next to some kitty Shiba or whatever.
Apparently they say that cats guard you from spirits in the night. So
really? Sometimes to our little boy, we have a 4-year-old, and sometimes you'll hear him go, Mom! Balthazar's next to me in my bed. I don't like it. Get him out of here. And you'll go and the cat will be like waiting.
That's a hardcore cat name. Yeah, that's
yeah. It's fairly like it's a lot to put on a cat. Balthazar.
I know.
So you're staying in a place, like, do you feel like you're living someone else's life? You're in someone else's house, or like, how do you feel? Have you just adapted it to be your own?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's, well, okay, there's two parts to it. So in New York, during the worst of the pandemic, you know, we love our apartment in New York, but it is a one bedroom and our son basically has a room that's the office. Like, it's teeny tiny. It actually really is probably a closet. But anyways, that's his room. And so we had no outdoor space. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't go anywhere. So I made us masks in the beginning. Thank God I have a weird sewing machine from college that I used to make pantsuits that gave me a bad camel toe.
What they're there for.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I actually recently had a day on set where they were like, the costume supervisor came up to me really close. She was like, I'm so sorry. I have to tell you something. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
She was like, your camel toe is really intense.
Thank you.
She was like, what do you think we should do about it? And I was like, well, I have to tell you, I just sort of have a fat pussy. So I think there's not much we can do. I feel like maybe we should get a pad and we'll just put it in the front, you know, kind of like a dance belt. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did and it worked. So just so you know, you can use a thick pad to like take care of your puss. But
that's
anyways,
a good camel toe hack. I think that's important.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, it sucks because like other people just need to be at peace with other people's camel toe. You know?
I feel like we've transitioned into that space and into this new era of like everybody wearing athleisure all the time. Mm-hmm. Like my husband, I got a pair of like stretch pants that I was like, babe, I think I got to send them back. There's like, look at this. It's like too much camel toe. And he goes, have you been to the gym? Well, obviously we haven't been to the gym in a while, but he was like, every time I have gone to the gym in the last 2 years, it's like an influx of camel toe, you know, constant camel toe. Yeah. Nobody cares. It's almost like part of it now. And I was like,
yeah.
Gross.
I also feel like, especially with a pantsuit, that's part of the like powerful feeling.
It is. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you walk out puss forward.
Yep. Yeah. That's the point. Is like,
I have a good story about a pantsuit in college, actually. My best friend and I did, my nickname's Annie. And my best friend Craig and I did the Craig and Annie show in college. And we did this like weird club act that was us doing a variety show for maybe 40 people in the black box of our school's, you know, basement. Mm-hmm. But we thought it was a really big deal. And so for some reason, I told my grandma and grandpa, you really should come out and see it. Actually, it was kind of good. Sometimes we're like, maybe we should do it again.
Yeah.
But it sounds amazing. I mean, that's the kind of shit that's always the best, you know.
Oh, it was great. And we were really into vintage clothes, and all we wore was vintage back then. And I had like short white hair, and I dyed my eyebrows white. It was a time.
Yeah.
So we had this matching pantsuit outfit, and they both were vintage. And mine was, I was like, oh, it's navy blue pants on the bottom part of the pantsuit. So no, this camel toe is like extreme, but I don't really think it's that big of a deal. So my grandma and grandpa came, and then we went to, what's that barbecue place? Have you lived in New York?
Been there, but never lived, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that barbecue place that everybody goes to that they have the big, huge, giant margaritas? Whatever. Ooh, it's funny. I can't think of the name right now, but it's a gross, funny barbecue place in Manhattan. You're like, why is this in Manhattan?
Yeah.
And we go and we're eating weird food. And my grandma and grandpa were like, everybody's talking at the other side of the table. And they're like, we have to tell you something. And I was like, yeah. And my grandpa looked at me. He goes, I don't think you can wear that pantsuit again. Your camel toe was attacking us.
Your grandfather mentioned your camel toe.
Yeah, and like, damn. They were really concerned about me and my career wearing that pantsuit again.
They're like, people are going to get the wrong idea about you. Also, that's, I just so love funny. The idea that every time someone tells you, I have to tell you something, it's related to your camel toe.
You know, you think as a woman, it's going to be like, you have period all over your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you turn around or something?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Camel toe. Like,
I think for you specifically, it means camel toe.
Yes.
I'm impressed a grandfather knew what a camel toe was.
I am too.
Oh,
yeah, that's impressive. You got a hip grandpa.
But then also, like, of course they do.
Of course.
Wait, what did he say? He said it's
attacking
what?
Us.
He was attacking us.
That's such a funny, like, man thing to say. Like, it's attacking me.
I know. And also, like, I love that they were really concerned about my career. They were really concerned about me wearing that again in front of an agent or something.
That's adorable. Exactly. They weren't like, it wasn't a purity thing. It was like, you're not going to get far in this
town. It's a
tough
town and you got to keep the toe covered up.
Yeah, you're not going to get a job with that camel toe.
Yeah. Exactly. When he booked Bad Education, he was just like, I'm so glad I told her all those years ago to put that camel toe away. You're welcome, Annalie.
That same friend, Craig, who I do the Craig and Annie show with, he had a pair of pants on that were crazy. We used to go-go dance back in the day in college. We would go-go dance for this. This DJ named Lady Starlight. I don't know if you guys know who she is, but she would DJ for a girl named Stephanie who was going to NYU, who was writing her own music.
Ooh.
We used to be like, I used to be like, that girl's really talented, but man, she's like so extra. And it ended
Lady
up being
Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
I was like, this is
so you remember Gaga from college?
Oh yeah, girl. I wasn't like they were much closer to her, but I was still go-go dancing for my friend Lady Starlight at the time, my friend Colleen, also known as Lady Starlight. Mm-hmm. So we had these like elaborate outfits. Anyways, he had a bad a moose knuckle. And he used to be like, My balls aren't that big. I call it it's just a panther's fist. I used to call it a panther's fist.
Just a panther's fist.
Isn't that funny? I love that. I held on to that forever.
Yeah, I love
it's
that.
So oh descriptive.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be right back in a second.
Beer. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady and Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Annalie Ashford.
Hey!
And my boy, and let me just tell you guys, my boyfriend is playing theme songs for us, but he's very nervous to do sound drops. And I think we should do it in the most anticlimactic way possible, which is just to allow him to play a noise, right?
Okay, Adam, you want to play a noise?
Play a noise, Adam.
He's going to hate me.
Oh my gosh.
I can tell he's scrambling right now.
It's just wow. It's just the there we go. Oh, perfect.
Thank that you. Felt right. That felt
that
really
was
good.
Great.
The Darth Vader.
That felt like what I feel. I think a lot of us have been feeling that.
Oh,
lately, so.
Have I ever?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Darth Vader no is a sound for 2020 and 2021 for sure.
Was that Darth Vader?
I think so. Right?
I don't think so. Well, I guess we'll find out later.
My son just made an appearance. He came in with two Buzz Lightyears and went, "Aw, sorry, Mom."
A perfect son moment.
Yes, exactly. Two Buzz Lightyears.
Been there.
What are 4-year-olds like into? What is a 4-year-old like? Like obsessive with Buzz Light? I don't even know what children like.
Well, he's obsessed with like all things Toy Story. He loves Toy Story, but we made sort of a mistake. Mm-hmm. My husband did this thing where he was like, we're going to have family movie nights on Saturday nights. Because I've been filming again, luckily. And so it's like our night together. Mm-hmm. We have this dramatic like build up for it. And we turn off all the lights. And he was like, let's go through all of the Marvel movies in order. And I was like,
that's so much.
Okay, I trust you. I've not seen any of them, but if you think he's big enough for that, okay. He's not big enough for that.
There's some
scary
stuff,
right?
That is not. That's a lot for 4. Ooh, no.
No, no, no. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, cool. The Thor Ragnarok, have you guys seen that
one? Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's
that's
so
a fun,
funny.
Yeah. It's a really funny
the
movie.
The Thor ones are great.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Super funny. So anyways, some of them are a lot lighter and then some of them are so heavy. So anyways, we did that and now he's obsessed with all of the, he knows every single Avengers character and we stupidly got a lot of them for the Christmas and now we're like in Avengers land. Oh, it's very extra and he likes to be the Hulk a lot and we don't know when it's going to happen and out of nowhere he'll take off a shirt and I'll be like, oh no, it's coming and he'll go and build all of his muscles up and then Hulk smash for like 20 minutes.
Have you seen those, or maybe he already has them, but have you seen those hands you can get, those Hulk hands?
He's got them.
Oh, those are so fun. My little brothers used to have those. They're really fun to like just like play fight with and stuff.
Yeah,
they're great. They're super soft. They're they're good for a laugh and they're really fun when he falls asleep in them.
Aww, that's really cute.
But yeah, that's kind of I'm sure other 4-year-olds are into other things that are, I mean, I just wish I could go back in time and say no to that idea. The Avengers, it's too soon.
It feels like a very specific time where you're like cultivating, like, okay, what do I show you that you're going to, you know, really absorb?
He loves Star Wars too. Like he loves, and I do love that he's always like, I'm relieved that he's not like choosing the House of Slytherin. He's really always choosing sort of Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. So that's a relief.
That's awesome. Yeah. You got to love Harry Potter because it does allow kids to kind of tell you like what they are.
Yeah. Totally.
I don't know if I ever met a little kid that self-identified as Slytherin. Have you?
Not a little kid, just like angry teenagers.
Yeah. Slytherin is for teens.
And cosplay adults. You know, it's fun for cosplay.
Yeah, it feels like a very like long bang choice. Kind of just the emo kid.
Definitely not a Slytherin.
Wait, are you a Slytherin, Brandy? Are you?
Every test I've ever taken tells me I'm a Slytherin, yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm like the good version of them where it's like, I mean, you're like loyal and cunning and all like the good things about them. Which do exist.
Yeah.
I think Slytherins are often really maligned because honestly, no house is better than any other house.
Yeah, it's all what you do with it. It's like there's shithead Gryffindors, there's shithead Hufflepuffs, and Ravenclaws too.
Oh boy,
we don't
see, this
talk
is the
enough
exact
about shithead
conversation I don't want to, like I'm like, all right, then we actually start talking seriously about it. No,
and that's a shithead Hufflepuff comment.
Yeah,
good. And I don't know or care what that is.
The last time we went to Universal, I full out got a Gryffindor sweater that doesn't really like look like, you have to really look close.
Yeah, There is some really good merch that's just like the color schemes are really nice. And it's like you can low key just be like, no big deal. But like,
yeah, I wear it in the wintertime. Not here because nobody needs a sweater here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll put a nice colored shirt with it. And then every once in a while, somebody will be like, oh, is that a Gryffindor sweater? I'm like, yes, it is. You're welcome.
It is like you mentioned, it is like full on summer in LA right now.
It's I love very, it. Yeah. It's like in shorts and a t-shirt so outside yesterday. It's like, okay, yeah, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, it was hot at night a couple nights ago, and that's when you're like, oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of luxurious, but also, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. It's not supposed to be this warm, is it? Oh, no, the planet.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we have one of those, like, purple sunsets that has, like, swooshes of, like, orange in every color of the rainbow, and you're like, oh, that's probably from all the chemicals in the sky, but it's yeah. pretty.
Yep.
But yeah, it's throwing me off how like summery it is during the day because the days are still short. Mm-hmm. So like psychologically, I'm like getting ready to be outside all day with like my book, maybe go to the beach, go on a hike. But in reality, you only really have time to go to Target, come back and scurry under a blanket before night falls.
Yes,
absolutely. You know what my friend told me the other day too? She was like, doesn't it feel like, because she's on a TV show, she's waiting. It's Elena York. Do you guys know who Elena York is? She's magical. She's hilarious sure. and great. She's on that show, The Other Two. She's so funny. It's on Comedy Central. Anyways, the point of the story is she's like waiting to film and she was like, I feel like I have all these things on my list to do. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's dark. Oh, I can't do them. It's dark.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just wait until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then they just go on my list for tomorrow and then I don't do them again because the day is too short. And when it gets dark, there's something in your body that's like, I cannot do anything else. I must lay here and watch Bravo.
Yeah.
No, 100%. It feels, I hate working when it's dark out. I mean, for me, I think ideally it would just go Christmas, middle of the summer. Yes. I don't need anything in between. Like as soon as Christmas is over, I have no use for winter.
Amen. I'm down for that. Maybe St. Patrick's Day parade. But,
oh, yeah, that's true.
But just to watch all of the people, not actually go to it. The one in New York is extremely fascinating to watch because people get so drunk by 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. that they like then they spend the whole rest of the day drinking. That most people don't like that day in New York, but I find it as a great source of comedy.
Yeah.
For sure. I think if absolutely. You can get a good vantage point where you're like out of the scope of being thrown up on or something, then it's enjoyable.
For
if you
sure.
can just have the bird's eye view.
I just realized none of the SantaCons happened this past no. Christmas, did they? I mean, that's
SantaCon.
Well,
got
that we know of.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah, seems like SantaCon seems like something that would not observe social distancing guidelines. Yeah.
That's great, though. I mean, everyone I know that lives in those cities is always like, oh God, the SantaCon's happening.
I feel like maybe they've lost steam, so that's... Yeah.
I don't think they have. I think we just don't know people that do them, because I right. do know people that do them.
Yeah, what do people do here? I guess you could, like, SantaCon your block.
Yeah, we yeah. have one in Hollywood. There's one in Hollywood.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah but it doesn't, you know, shine a candle to the New York one. I mean... Yeah. No comparison.
Well, the San Francisco one is crazy.
Or the San Francisco one. I mean, New York is just so much better at drinking than LA.
Because you don't have to drive. You exactly. can just keep walking and you can, like, you. There's many you, modes of
you
transportation.
Can just keep walking.
Yeah.
I like it. It wasn't like you can just take a cab home or the subway. It's like, no, you can keep walking to you another destination
exactly.
to drink more.
Yes.
My move in New York is always I'll just keep walking until I see a cab or I'll hail a cab and then I just end up accidentally walking all the way.
That's the best. I love that though. Like a drunk walk home is that's a good time, especially mm-hmm. if the sun's coming up or something.
Wow. Oh, love a drunk walk home when the sun's coming
oh,
up.
Oh yeah, and then if you walk past the pizza shop, hey, pizza o'clock. What time is it? It's pizza o'clock. Get in there and get a slice.
Always.
It's perfect. I really am looking forward to, yeah, you know, I think obviously we're all going to be a lot more grateful for like traveling and things like that when we get out of this. So I'm really excited to just go to New York again and Chicago and things like that and appreciate them in a way I didn't before, I think.
Yeah. What's the first like dirty kind of like public place you guys are going to go to? Like what's
Disney World?
Disney World. Are you a huge Disney person?
Big, huge. Huge, huge. Can't wait. My friend Craig that I keep telling you guys about, he was doing the makeup for Wicked as his day job. And then he's a composer and had a show going to Broadway as his like magic job. And so now he has no jobs. He moved to Florida in walking distance to the employee entrance of Epcot. And now he is working for a vacation blog in Disney World called the Disney Food Blog and allearsnot.net. And that's how he changed his life. Talk about a pivot.
That's wow. Beautiful. Amazing. That's beautiful.
Whoa, that's awesome. Damn.
Also, like, if you, like, love something, this is the time to invest in what you love. And, like, how fun is that? He was like, it brings me a lot of joy. I might as well just go down there. So he literally got an apartment and moved down there. Isn't that wild?
Wow. That just speaks to, like, it is corny or whatever, but, like, follow your joy. Like, it'll work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be very, totally. Very curious to know what the employee parking lot at, like, Disney looks like. It's like, do they just immediately start smoking cigarettes as soon as they leave the park? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just, like, whatever it is, like, what is happening. They just, like, get a bunch of, like, fucks out as soon as they have left the grounds. They're like, okay,
I forget if I ever told you. Brandy, I forget if I've told you this story, but it was very traumatic when I was in high school. Disneyland mm-hmm. has something called, like, Magic Music Days or whatever. So if you're in choir or band, mm-hmm. you get to go like to the park and like work with park people and you sing Disney songs all day, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was there doing that for choir. We took 5 to go get a glass of water. I walked by Eeyore holding his own head and having a cigarette.
I was gonna say they're definitely doing that shit inside the park somewhere in a
yeah.
bubble.
Yeah. So I can confirm they are definitely holding their own heads and having cigarettes.
OMG, if Disney hears this, they're going to call you and be like, dude, what year was it?
Which
Eeyore? Do you remember what entrance?
We will find this Eeyore.
Yeah, they will find it.
It's perfect that it was Eeyore, though.
Like, exactly.
That's the one you want to see, smoking exactly. a cig. Okay, we're going to play a game with you, Annalie, to get to know you a little bit better. It's an old school MySpace quiz. So.
Okay. Oh, my God. I love that MySpace. Hey.
Yeah.
Let's do it, Adam. Oh, what is this? Oh, this is the song.
Yes.
Never heard it
you
forever.
Haven't listened to this in a while. I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz.
Quiz. So we are also in musicals.
Yeah. If you can't tell. Mm-hmm. Lots of triple threats to go around here. So,
yeah, I've threatened 3 people today, and it's only 11.
yeah, that's what that means, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are just some random questions. No pressure. Annalie, have you ever found something valuable on the ground?
I found some money on the ground and stood there on the street for a long, long time trying to be like, is this your $20? Is this your $20? Mm-hmm. I feel so guilty. I just found $20. I don't feel like I can keep it. And then I think I felt so guilty about it. I think I gave it to somebody else.
Aww. Aww. That's really sweet. $20.
Yeah, felt really uncomfortable.
Oh, wow. Man.
You are a better person than me. I've
Well, also just the odds of... Yeah, that person's definitely gone. So whoever's going to say yes is lying. But that's okay. They needed it more, you know. That's whoever it went to where
you gave it right back to the karma fund. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, but I've never found anything more valuable than that.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about this before, but I found like a pretty big chunk of money on the ground once, like I think $300 or something, and
wow.
Yeah, and I did not ask if anyone had dropped it.
Do you remember what you spent it on?
I don't remember. I think I was paying for some like expensive personal trainer at the time. So I'm sure I put it towards like one session or some shit because that shit's expensive.
Yeah.
I found it right outside his like studio thing.
Got it. I remember when I was in elementary school, this kid, Raymond, found a money clip, a gold money clip with like $2,000 in it during recess.
Oh, my God.
And he came up to us and was like, what do we do? And I guess you give it to a teacher. And the teacher was like, Yeah, we'll keep it at the office. And if anybody claims it, we'll give it to them. That teacher definitely kept that money.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could make their day. But I just remember this like gold money clip with like a stack of bills being like,
I mean, that's amazing. You got to give them more than their salary that month.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, I feel great about it.
That's what we should have. That's what should happen. Like, since teachers don't get paid enough, is there should just be like random money clips full of thousands of dollars.
Make them find and squabble over it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we want. We want like a Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That's been a really good idea for the rollout for the new stimulus package.
Yes.
Yes.
Make all it interactive. All of them are on a string on a sidewalk. Yeah. You have to chase your...
Yeah,
get
yeah.
your gold money clip.
I mean, it feels very Hunger Games-y right now, so anything's possible.
Yeah. I don't know why we shouldn't make the decline of civilization fun.
Yeah. Oh, it is fun. Are you not having fun right now? I am.
But. Oh, yeah. If you don't watch the end of Running Man, Masa it's a Minos, great movie. Just don't watch the end of any apocalypse movies and it's great.
I don't know what it says about my life that I like know for sure I have found money multiple times, but I don't remember like any of them right now. I just know I've found money.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, do you do the trick where you just like leave a 20 in like a coat that you put away for a while? I've like done that often.
Christmas.
If by the trick you mean am I a mess that just has belongings flailed everywhere? Yes, I do that trick.
Just call it a trick.
I was like, wait, was that ever on purpose? It's never been on purpose. I left something in a pocket.
I mean, I've definitely done that before. When I was a kid, I'd be like, this is going to be great in like 6 months and just like leave a 20 in a coat.
I will say I for sure have a squirrel method of saving where I've got a few things around that have money that I'm smart. Like, okay, I know it's somewhere in this area.
You put money in moldy jam and then...
That's so like after the depression behavior.
Yes, exactly.
I think we all, I don't know, it's like we all have that weird, you know, well, especially now with how crazy the world is, but...
Exactly. I panic ordered a bunch of MREs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that
meals,
for?
Meals ready to eat. It's just like dehydrated food.
It's like army food.
But they're like way better now than they used to be. Like really I'm vegetarian and they have like really good vegetarian ones. And it's actually pretty cool. You just pour like hot water into it and it's like oatmeal with blueberries or...
One of the only like YouTube channels I actually watch is a guy reviewing those, and they're fascinating because he'll get some from like old like 1960s, 1970s, and he won't always eat it if it doesn't look good, but some of them are still good. So
see, that's what's cool. They stay good for like 30, 40 years.
Yeah. That's making me think that like, you know, when everything goes crazy, don't break into like go to an REI. And like break it. That's the place to go.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, I still have my old Nutrisystem. That's my backup food. And that's my emergency. Is that old nasty dehydrated eggs and shit.
You still wouldn't
eat
it.
That Marie Osmond peddled to me. That's my backup plan.
Oh man. Yep. I remember doing that for like a month and being like, never again. This is awful. Oh, it's really so bad.
Ugh. Next question. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm actually like on a weird break from coffee right now. And okay, I have celiac disease, so I'm gluten-free for real, which means I like for real can't eat gluten or I get so sick. So it sometimes makes you have like other problems with your stomach. Mm-hmm. So I'm really good at talking about the gut microbiome and my butthole.
Yes.
Like, so it's really great that we started off on that foot. But I literally could do, if we wanted to talk about the gut microbiome, I could sit and talk to you for like 2 hours about it, about like how I feel about what the sugar does to your gut and, you know, gut permeability and all that stuff. So anyways, the point is that I have this like little recurring stomach infection that kind of comes back from time to time that's really common for people with celiac. And to heal it, you have to take antifungals, and you can't eat sugar, and you can't eat processed meat, and you can't, so sugar, like all sugar, like I can't have any carbohydrates at all, no grains, no fruit for like 3 months, you know, and then it gets a lot better and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
But the one thing I miss like the most is coffee. Like I just now, my husband was having a cup and I like looked at it for a long time and then I smelled it. I just was like, the coffee in the morning and not being able to have like dark chocolate at night. It's like, oh,
sugar. For
it
sure.
must
yeah.
be. I mean, just hearing you talk about not being able to have coffee, it was making my heart hurt. It felt really bad because, yeah, like that's, I'm so addicted to coffee that I haven't even ever considered giving it up because I can't even think about having that day.
Yeah.
I switched to decaf like 3 years ago and that really changed my life in a good way. And people are like, why do you do that? Like the show that I'm doing right now, Be Positive with Thomas Middleditch. Thomas is like, I don't understand that. Why aren't you drinking caffeine? Like, what is wrong with you? Why would you cut that out of it? You know, he's like really horrified by the fact that I don't drink caffeine. I mean, wait till he finds out I'm not drinking coffee. He's going to be like, what is wrong with you?
What the heck?
Anyways, but that, for the land of lady hormones, it like totally was so great. And it's still, I like every once in a while I'll get a half calf and I'll feel like crap afterwards. I'll be like, yeah, it was a good change.
Yeah.
Not for everybody. Caffeine is good for some people.
Was it, how did you go through like withdrawals?
Oh my God. Yes. Headaches. And even when I like stop decaf, I have a headache for a couple of days, which means there's probably a little bit in it, but it's just, you know, that bean is magic.
It really is.
Oh, I can smell it right now in my heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So just the good smell of coffee is like, it's my favorite thing.
I'll never forget. The only time I've ever given up coffee is when I was in eighth grade. I gave up coffee for Lent.
Oh, my God.
Eighth grade.
How long were you what kind of drinking too of coffee were you doing? Was it Frappuccinos?
I've been drinking coffee every day since third grade.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah,
what?
Like I've been, that's what I mean. I'm so addicted to it that like I don't know what would happen to my body if I didn't drink it. Like even when I've been in the hospital a couple times as an adult, and the first thing I have like my mom or my husband do when I get out is take me to Starbucks. Like I am severely addicted to coffee, but in eighth grade I gave it up for Lent, and I remember like being at Target with my friends walking around and like I remember looking in the refrigerator and wanting a Frappuccino so bad and just being like, be good, be good. And then on Easter Sunday, I made myself a pot of coffee and like I didn't want breakfast. I didn't want to hunt for eggs, nothing. I sat there 14 years old and I just drank an entire pot of coffee by myself and it felt so good. Like I'll never feeling it go back through my veins. Like it was just heaven.
Oh my God.
And I don't ever want to be without it again.
That's a short film.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's funny. So, yeah. It's funny because it's like Tessa's 5'9". You're 5'9", right?
5'11".
5'11".
I'm 5'11".
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm so jealous.
Thank you. I mean, I'd like to be able to wear heels. But yeah, people, I'm 5'11", and I've been a vegetarian since I was a kid. And people were always like, it's going to stunt your growth. And I'm like, well, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My little boy actually is like weirdly, he likes the taste of coffee and we don't really know why. Because I drink iced decaf Americanos with a little oat milk. Can you tell I miss it? But and he'll be like, Mom, can I have a sip? So one day we let him have a sip of like black coffee and he still was like, So I don't know. Maybe my kid is going to be like you, Tess.
Yeah. You know what? There's worse things that you could fall into as a kid. I mean, he might pull his first all-nighter when he's like 10, but whatever.
It's great. It's just like a specific taste for a little person to like. Yeah. Like my mom won't even drink coffee, you know?
Yeah. So I'm not a big coffee. If I drink coffee maybe once, twice a month, maybe on like days I really need it. I'm more of like, I drink like an Irish breakfast tea in the morning and that's about it. And I don't really need a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, it's a very specific taste.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I try it and I'm always like, well, I don't know.
That's what I love about it is I like it just plain, but I feel like you can also like doctor it up. So it.
Yeah. Whenever I drink coffee, I put so much stuff in that it doesn't taste like coffee anymore because I kind of just need to get away from it.
Okay, let's do one more question. Annalie, would you live on Mars if you had the opportunity?
No, it's too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn another planet. It's too hard.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that I'm immediately like, no, thank you. You know why? Most of all, because it sounds cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Being cold sucks. And also,
I feel
like
by the time we got there, though, we'd probably figure out however to regulate your temperature.
Well,
you know,
terraformed it probably. The first movie I ever remember seeing as a child was Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that kind of made the decision for me at a very young age of just like, no, I don't want my eyes to bulge out of my head in a cartoonish way.
Right.
So funny.
Do you feel like you're in a Verhoeven movie?
Yeah, if the
movie,
rich people own all the air. It depends on who owns the air, I suppose, if you're looking at it from Total Recall. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, and it feels like the rich people will own the air.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, and the time that has been time and money that we're spending on like that actually being an option in a conversation the last couple of years, I'm always like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we fix some shit going on here?
Yeah.
Before we, my dad's always had that theory though. He's always like, we're here to burn up this planet and move on to the next one.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Well, we're not, because we're not creepy billionaires.
He's not like dumping oil in the ocean or something. It's just, you know, it's just a saying.
I wonder if that's what's going to happen though.
I mean, of course, look around. No one's stopping this train. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I don't get the sense that you're going to be able to lay out in a bikini on Mars.
No.
Oh, well, then I'm definitely not going. That's exactly. My number one favorite activity. I was lately, you know, we're all trying to find something soothing to like watch. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching like manufacturing videos of like, you know, Unwrapped, where they would show you how they make Snickers bars or something like that.
Okay.
Just those machine ones where you're like, okay, this is like very satisfying.
Oh, yeah. I like those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been watching just kind of things like that, like how things are made. But the sheer amount of it, like a Snickers bar, they're just like, we make 300,000 tons of caramel a day. And when you just see how high our production is just for that one thing, I'm like, oh, we're fucked. Like, we're not stopping this. This is never going to end. So just, I don't know. We're going down with the ship. And then up to Mars. So that works.
I'm also, if I were to go to Mars, I'd be really concerned about my gut microbiome. I mean, not to bring it back to my butthole.
Yeah. No, your butthole on Mars is a question to be worried
about. It does seem like it would be hard to have like a, you know, a specialized diet on Mars. That too.
The weightlessness might help, because like maybe the stuff, you know, maybe it helps digestion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
Do you guys think on Mars?
It's a quarter of our gravity, I believe.
Do you guys think that would be like, would that kind of give you like a facelift, like not having gravity?
Well, it's interesting.
Maybe give me a tit lift, probably.
Well, it's interesting because the TV show The Expanse, if you guys haven't watched it at all, it's amazing. It's a new sci-fi show. It's a great book series, and they it really deals with like the class issues of humans as they expand through the universe. And there's the people that still live on Mars. There's people that live, or people that live on Earth, or people that live on Mars, and there's people that live in like the asteroid belt, and they've been that way for generations and generations, and their bodies have physically changed so much that like the people that live on the belt are these like super tall, like 8-foot humans, because their skeletons without the gravity of being born are just like super long, and they can't exist on the surface of Earth anymore. They're human, but the gravity of Earth would crush them. And the people on Mars, it's like when they come down to Earth, they like they can't look at the sky because they've never seen a horizon. So if they look at a horizon, they get like seasick and like vomit. So it's like very interesting of like what your body would adapt to in these like other parts of the galaxy.
That's such a smart show.
It's really, it's really, really awesome. And it really gets into like the people that go to Mars are, it's become this like warrior nation because they want independence from Earth, because Earth like still like mines the belt and mines everything for all of the minerals and everything they have out there. But like Earth is so overpopulated too that like you have to enter a lottery to be able to even get a job or to leave the planet. So most of Earth is just on a UBI, and they just like live. But then also everybody that's in the belt and on Mars, they like have no respect for Earthers, because they call them takers, because of like they're just like, oh, you can't even get a job. But then there's this thing that happens, and like Mars ends up like having to like get rid of a bunch of its warships, and then those people are out of jobs for the first time like in that planet's history. And it's very interesting the way that everything plays out in it.
How the fuck do people come? I can like barely build out a world for like one pilot. How the hell is anyone writing this shit?
It's so awesome. It's also it's also low-key like the most diverse TV show I've seen in a really long time. It's really cool because like the people that are in the belt, they speak in this they have their own weird language that is like kind of like a spinoff of Earth, but it's like Jamaican meets like British, because it's the people that went to the belt were like the lower class people of Earth in the first place. So it is this like all like the Cockney, all the like working class accents kind of like together.
Oh, hell yeah. I want to hear this accent.
It's really, really cool. If I could like just learn to talk that way, it'd be awesome. But it's I
just start bringing it. Yeah. We're all of a sudden like, Brandy's got a new accent on the show. What's going on?
Govna. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go work on our Martian accents. We'll be back with some lady problems, guys.
Hey, everybody, we're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Annalie.
Hey!
We're going to do a lady problem. If you want to write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, you can do that, or you can leave us a voicemail at 323-6-BUTT-30.
yeah, 6-BUTT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right.
Hi ladies, this is Rhea from Los Angeles. I have been a longtime listener since I started working in 2012. I work with numbers, so I like listening while working, so you've been in my ears for many years. So it's been really fun. I actually was thinking of the episode with Sizzler because of the election. Anyway, my lady problem is I have a dog and he's really scared of fireworks. I've tried a couple of things, but I was wondering, since I know some of you have dogs, what are some tricks that you have done to help with fireworks? Anyway, thanks a lot for all the laughs over all of the years. Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rhea.
That, by the way, the reference to this, we did a live episode at Sizzler with French Stewart years ago, right before the 2016 election. So that's what she was referencing.
Yeah, great, and then we released this very happy, hopeful episode on the day after the election. Yeah, so we call that getting sizzlered.
Yes.
Lots of, yeah, this is good. Lots of buffet talk in this episode. So
yeah, absolutely. Love a sizzler buffet. Yeah,
I don't have a dog, so it's all, this is you guys.
Okay, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, comments, opinions about fireworks and dog ownership. First of all, my dog Buddy is terrified of them. Yeah. It's a huge problem. It has changed the way I view fireworks. I used to love them. Now I fucking hate them because all I can think about is my poor traumatized dog. Honestly, what we do is a lot of times we leave town. Like if it's going to be a holiday that, seriously, because like if it's going to be a holiday that if I can't be home with him, I feel so bad just like leaving him because he gets so scared that we'll go camping or something or go somewhere where there aren't fireworks.
Poor baby boy.
Yeah.
I have a dog who's afraid of fireworks, who's also diabetic, which is a fun combo. But this is sort of weird, but when we start hearing them happen, I just hold her on my lap and hug her. You know those like things that you put on them, those like thunder jackets?
Yeah.
I don't think they work as well as you actually being the thunder jacket. So we try to actually be a human thunder jacket, and sometimes it helps. But I mean, it's the worst. It's so hard to watch your little pup shake.
Yeah, it's horrible. Well, and I feel like their hearing is so much more sensitive than ours that even if I try to put on like white noise or music or something, like he's still hearing the firework. Even if I can't hear it in the distance, he's still hearing it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's really, yeah, my dog used to be, well, he's old now and he's a little bit more deaf. So that's a nice thing to look forward to once they start losing their hearing a little bit. Like this year for the fourth or for New Year's, I was like, oh, you're not upset right now. Oh, you can't hear it anymore. Got it. But yeah, it's like dogs and veterans too.
Yeah. I propose that we transition into something more like a laser show. Emily, do they have Fantasmic at Disney World, or is that just
yes,
a Disney?
They do.
Oh my God, it's the best. Do you guys know what Fantasmic is?
The Fantasia?
No. So it's a water show. They take water, like in the LA Disneyland, it's at the Mark Twain, at the Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
It's like the prettiest, coolest thing, but they make like a screen out of a sheet of water and they project like images onto that. So I propose we use our city's municipal water areas to make water screens and do that instead of fireworks.
This is great. I think if we can all come together, everyone buys personal lasers to like come together and make the images.
That would be so cool. A citywide laser show.
Yeah, it's hard because it's definitely, you know, fireworks. People are just going for it and they last for a few days in L.A. It's kind of like a tough, you know, I feel bad because I understand why people want to light them off.
Fun. Lighting things on fire is really fun.
Yeah.
You know what you can also do? You can also give, I don't do this, but some people do when they go on planes. We don't have to for our dog, but you know, if you give your dog Benadryl, it just sort of takes the edge off.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, chill pill.
On the big days, you know, just to take the edge off. It's like giving a dog a Zanny.
Yeah, tried that, but maybe I should try that next time we have like a big fireworks holiday. Because my dog Buddy, I mean, he's a big lab, and he literally comes and like curls up into my lap with fear every time they happen.
Aww. He's like, well, it is like a big thing because it's like, I mean, you see online people are always like, hey, make sure your dogs are inside, because I think that's like the biggest day. 4th of July is like the biggest day of the year. Dogs running away, right? Because they jump over fences and they're scared trying to get away.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah, I do social media at the animal shelter here. And it's like 4th of July is like hell for animal shelters. I mean, we have like a whole program where we have people like foster dogs just for those 4 days to make room for like the influx of dogs that comes in that week.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I agree. I think dog Xanax is a good call. I think travel if you can. Stay home with them if you can.
Yeah. What we need to do is some kind of, once, you know, obviously we can all hang around each other, is like, let's get, you know, the Staples Center to become a big dog park so that we can have an insulated dog hang while other people, you know, while people are doing fireworks. So some kind of obstacle course they can go through. You know, a ball pit, and then just like, this is a dog party. People can put off fireworks, and then the dogs can be like secure from the sounds of fireworks.
Yeah, and we could give them Benadryl, so it'll be like a rave.
Oh my god! Yes,
exactly.
Dog rave.
Oh my god!
We're all just like licking water out of a bowl in the corner the whole time.
All I want in life is
pacifiers.
You could do like a light show with jerky sticks.
Boom. That'd solved it.
I just want to be the only human at the dog rave. Is that too much to ask?
Sure, if you want to take on that responsibility.
That actually sounds like the name of your memoir, Tess. The only human at the dog rave. I could see that really being a book that you write.
So, to wrap us out, Anna Lee, I know that you're on Be Positive on CBS right now, and you're also going to be in Ryan Murphy's show, American Horror Story, Impeachment. Tell us
about... Crime Story.
Crime Story? Oh, sorry. The thing I was looking at said the wrong thing. I mean, could be both, but American Crime Story. tell us about those. Like, Be Positive is you give Thomas Middleditch your kidney?
Yes. So, Thomas Middleditch, who is... so funny and so great. And, you know, he's the best. I'm so grateful that I get to hang out with him all the time. So he plays this guy who needs a kidney and can't find one from anybody. And we went to high school together and we haven't seen each other at all. He's like a therapist who has his stuff together. You know, he cleans his house a lot. And I am a mess. I am a disaster.
Ooh, fun character to play.
Yes. I work at a retirement community. I drive the bus. And I also teach classes at the retirement community, which is like my favorite part of the whole character.
Tess used to teach working out at a retirement community.
Yeah, I used to teach old folks aerobics. It was a really, really fun job.
job.
I love that. I love that. When I was a kid, I used to do a club act at a nursing home. Like, I used to bring a karaoke machine and sing a whole full set to them and tell jokes and do tap numbers. So anyways, and Linda Lavin plays like my friend at the retirement home, which was amazing because she's a, you know, she's a, anyways, he needs this kidney. Yep. And I end up being the one who's like, you need a kidney? Oh my God, I'll go get tested. Let's see if we match. And of course we match. And we're like the odd couple. I'm like Oscar and he's like Felix, and we have to live together because I'm a disaster and I need to get my kidney cleaned out so that it's ready for delivery.
Ready for
to get it prepared. Wow. Yeah. So basically he has to kind of save my life before I can save his. So we're having a good time. And then on the completely opposite side of the universe, I'm playing Paula Jones in the impeachment of Bill Clinton story.
Oh, nice.
For American Crime Story. So I have a lovely prosthetic nose, and it's like the most ridiculous cast. And of course, it's Ryan Murphy. And it's, I think, one of the really important things that they're doing with the telling of this story that we're all so familiar with, and what they've done in the last two seasons, which is sort of, they use it as an opportunity to tell the story from like a social justice perspective. And that is that the women in this story particularly were really disadvantaged and treated really terribly. And and including Linda Tripp. Mm-hmm. You know, like Linda Tripp, Monica Lewinsky, Paula Jones were really treated poorly. And Hillary. Mm-hmm. And it's also been like really wild to like do these scenes at a time where we're in such a crazy flux politically, and the sort of jargon that they used in defense of the impeachment of Bill Clinton. It's so wild to see all these tactics reused on both sides. But also just like all of the key players in the sort of push for his impeachment, and all of the Paula Jones had a legal team of elves, which were these like really high level, really educated lawyers, some of them being Ann Coulter and George Conway.
Whoa. So they're all still around. Oh,
they're
man.
All, everybody in the show is still around.
Like, honestly, I didn't know Ann Coulter was a lawyer. I thought she was just like a TV personality. I actually didn't know she was an attorney.
And also it sort of reminds you that, like, I don't know if you have like people in your life who listen to super, super right media outlets, but like they... Mm-hmm. Some people in my life, they're like, have gotten really good at spinning. I'm like, this is like, I have a lot of lawyer friends in my life, and people, and they're usually the people who can like spin something really quick. But I think that has been such an interesting thing that's happened in the last kind of 4 years, especially, but last 6 years, like everybody just like spinning everything. Everybody knows how to do a spin. You're like, no, that's sort of like a thing that lawyers do. But now everybody does it because we see so many lawyers on TV talking constantly.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Exactly. And I wonder if that started with like the kind of with the impeachment of Clinton, and I feel like around the same era was the OJ stuff.
OJ.
Like it kind of brought the legal process into people's living rooms and made everyone kind of like an armchair attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah, these famous lawyers.
Well, and Fox, CNN was always like popular-ish, but Fox became Fox during the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Mm. Yeah. That's interesting. That's when it really rose to power.
Yeah. Man. Because people hated the Clintons so much.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, anyway, I'm so really excited to watch it. The OJ one was incredible, and kind of like you said, revisiting like Marcia Clark's just kind of journey through it all was fascinating. So I'm really excited to see this version of it, you know, of the story.
Analyzing the misogyny of the 90s is just like, it's fascinating looking back now because it's so much stuff that just was like baked in that you don't even think about. And that's like when we were raised.
Oh, it's totally acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh.
And it's still we all still have so much of it in there that you can't help because you were just raised with it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you gotten to consult with Paula Jones at all? Or like, are the real people involved at all? Or,
or is she Monica not? Monica Lewinsky is a producer on it. So she's awesome. Super involved.
She's so awesome.
Yeah. The coolest. And so well spoken. I mean, watching her interview, there's a documentary that they did on the impeachment of Bill Clinton, like, I don't know, a couple years ago. And she, just hearing her speak, you're like, oh, she's a smart, fierce educated, you know, eloquent girl who just was really young and, you know, caught up.
Well, you forget. It's like her, that internship was not like, that's a very hard internship to get.
Yes.
Right. You know, she probably beat out like hundreds of people to get that internship.
Yeah, she's a very smart, accomplished woman at that point, too.
And we never even
to have gotten that job.
Yeah, and we never heard her voice. Like, it was so wild for me to hear her voice because they, I think, wisely just kept her from having to talk in front of anybody ever at all. But man, was she treated poorly. So anyway, she's a producer on it. And then I'm like, kind of like, oh, I wonder what will happen when it will come out if Paula Jones will say anything, or I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. It's so wild. It's the first time I've like played somebody who's alive.
Oh, did you study
is that true? Is that true? Now I'm like, I don't know. I have to like think
wait. Glinda's not alive.
I'm literally trying to think like, who else have I played that's a real person? I don't know. I'm probably forgetting. Oh, well, I did Unbelievable and Bad Education like in the same year. And that was based on real stories. But there wasn't like footage I could see of them. And I did the last American Crime Story, Versace. And I played Andrew Cunanan's best friend. And I did see footage of her.
I watched that series. I was trying to place. I was like, where? I did not realize you were in that. That's awesome.
I played his best friend and there was a little bit of footage that I had of her. And it's always such a trick, like playing somebody that's really familiar to everybody. Mm-hmm. In a way, I think people don't remember. Well, it depends. It depends on what age you are. If you remember Paula Jones really clearly. But I feel like people our age and older do, you know, they know. But the people who don't, I kind of want to be like, go check out a clip because I'm this is not a caricature. She really talked like that. Like she literally talks like this. Like I've done so much work on her voice and it is that high all the time. Still, she still talks like this. Still to this day, you know, and you're like, whoa, people really talk like that anyways.
Yeah. Wow. For sure.
I can't wait to see. I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing the show with us. Do you want to shout out your socials or anything for people to follow you on or anything else?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I do a lot of weird videos on Instagram about food. I'm a WW ambassador. I've been a WW person for like 12 years. So anyways, I make weird WW recipes sometimes on my Instagram. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's just my name. It's just Annalee Ashford. It's at Annalee Ashford.
Sweet.
And I show lots of fun things from Be Positive. So that's cool. And my kid's on a lot doing weird costumes and Hulk smashes.
That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. And thank you everybody for listening. And we'll see you next time, y'all.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I actually tried to call and leave this voicemail election week when you were collecting them, but I messed up dialing the number, and thank God the voicemail I accidentally dialed was full. Otherwise, I would have said this personal thing to them. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you guys for how important the show has been for me in the pandemic. My pandemic project, I guess, was taking this very intense 5-month training program in order to become a suicide prevention counselor. It was, you know, hard work to train. And then I graduated and started the work election week. And since then I've worked Thanksgiving. So it's been a very like jump into the deep end of the pool kind of situation for me. As you can guess, the work is really emotionally demanding. So part of what I've had to do for myself is build a really robust self-care routine for before and after my shift so I can keep the work sustainable for myself. And I've made you guys show a huge part of my post-shift ritual. So I do a little meditation and then slap on my headphones, smoke some weed, and take a walk outside listening to you guys and cracking myself up. So thank you for being my lifesaver so I can turn around and try to be a lifesaver myself. That means so much. And I know there's so many other people that you guys are supporting with the content you create. you know, that would say the same. So thank you for this work. It's really been a lifeline. Bye.